Blog Talk Radio.
Can you hear it in your phone? All right, hopefully everybody is having a good evening, and we are so glad to be back. We had some changes in the way the schedule worked, and we have made it to prime time, so we are now on Saturday nights. Now, that could be good, and that could be bad. It might not be that good if, you know, you have stuff to do and you're out and stuff, but the nice thing is you can get Blog Talk Radio on your smartphone at any time. You can listen to the show wherever you are. Or you can listen to it later. So anyway, thank you for joining us, Foodomania. Very, very happy to be here. And this is an exciting wrap-up of the gardening show as part one and two of Waking Up the Garden. And so happy to have Rhonda E. with us. Rhonda, you with us?
I am. How's it going?
It's going great. Now, remember, we're going to have like a slight couple of second delay. So we'll try to get used to that, just talking on the phone. It's always interesting when somebody's really close by. But I wanted to say thank you for being here very much.
Oh, thanks for having me. This was great.
Well, you know, it's interesting how this all works. You know, you put a garden to bed and you wake it up, and it seems like we were just putting this baby to bed pretty recently. And in the first couple of the Waking Up the Garden shows, we talked a bunch about different things, and primarily just like going out there and sort of saying hello. And I love how you put it. So after you've experienced not so much the details yet, but when do you know after your winter, you know, hibernation or whatever, knowing you, you're probably doing some kind of gardening all year, but when do you actually know that it's time to not just walk by the garden to go to your car, but to actually get those red rubber boots on and start getting into the dirt?
Oh, you know, I think it just depends. I think for me, it's kind of like, you know, all year round. You just know you need to go and touch up, take care of, look at it, you know, and, you know, make sure it looks pretty even in the middle of wintertime. You know, you're constantly cleaning things up. But I think when it comes to the point of waking it up, or it's waking up on you and you're getting it prepared for spring, you just need to go out there and, you know, basically if you see the branches laying down, you see birds, you see signs of life, you see, you know, the buds coming up, the flowers blooming. I mean, I think those are pretty good signs that it's time to start thinking about how you're going to get that garden to, you know, look beautiful and wake it up in every place and every corner of the dirt where you're at. You know, I mean, it's pretty much just your call as to what you're going to do, but I think when you see signs of life, the sun is coming out, and even when you see the wind blowing, you know, things falling, you know, it's pretty much time to go out there and get things cleaned up, and what is my first thing I'm going to do, you know?
Right. Okay. That makes a lot of sense. And I guess when you finally start seeing these signs of life, like we've talked about in the other shows, because we've already, you know, sort of, you know, thought, okay, we're at the point now where we've picked out
right.
a few plants, we're going to get in the dirt. But my point is this. Some people who might just be a little behind it right now and have just started taking the advice of waking up your garden over the last couple of weeks, and maybe they're finally at the point of you know, picking out their plants and stuff. I know for a fact here
right.
in the Northwest, over the last 24 hours, we had a considerable temperature drop to the point that only a few miles away from where I live, there was reported snow flurry activity. So is it safe to actually go ahead and start your plants in the ground, even if, you know, you've germinated them and they're starts, or should people wait until they get some kind of consistent temperature, you know, average that's not going to damage the plants?
Well, there's a lot of your plants and things like that, you know, as far as that goes, that are able to withstand some of the weather we have right now. What we have going on mostly, if you really look at it, is we've got all kinds of seasons happening. One day it's sunshine, the next minute it's raining, the next minute we hear there's snow falling. Whatever it may be, the temperature's up, the temperature's down. This is just a classic thing where it's like, you know, what do? Do I invest in what flowers and what do I get? And it's like, you know, let's use a little common sense here. Let's do some spring cleanup first. Let's get some pruning going on. You know, let's get some, if you got some lavender, let's start to prune back a few things, you know. The first sign of spring, to have that ready so that the flowers, you know, can renew themselves, whatever it may be. Let's get, any kind of debris that's been out there for so long out of the way. Let's get the garden cleaned up, you know, and
so,
we'll
you know,
move forward. And then we'll move forward with the concept of what is the concept of your garden this year. What is, you know, what kind of flowers are you going to plant? I think the weather is questionable right now. I wouldn't probably go out and spend a lot of money buying flowers and getting stuff done. I'd probably wait a little bit. For Washington weather, it's really wet. And that can make it really hard. So you really want to make sure that you, you know, do the debris thing, do the pruning, come up with a plan and idea of how you want your garden to look. Get those plants you already have that have been in the ground, you know, cut them back, you know, restart, all that kind of stuff, and think about what kind of plants, because there are a few plants right now you can plant in, but you also want to be careful you don't start anything too early.
Right. Okay, well, so one of the things I wanted to bring up is, in the earlier shows, we talked about,
mm-hmm.
and even putting your garden to bed, we talked about, you know, just because, like, it's in the middle of the winter doesn't mean that you shouldn't be thinking about your garden, like you just said earlier. And while your garden is snoozing in the winter, it's kind of up to us to plan what's going to happen during the awakening. And there's a few key things that, you know, we can do early. So, for instance, right now, if you're just starting to prune and clear your weeds, you're a little bit behind the ball. I mean, you could do a little bit of pruning right now, but isn't it true that we should have thought about that a month or two ago?
No, because there are some plants you can actually start pruning now. Some people prune a lot of things in the winter, and there are some things, shrubby plants, that you can actually, you want to cut them back. You can start with your lavender, you know. Gosh, to limit the winter damage that already came now, now you want to encourage the plant to start sending out new flowering branches. So
okay.
It's like getting a haircut. When you go and get a haircut, you get a trim, it goes into a little bit of a shock, but the reason for the haircut is so that more hair will grow. So I'm not talking about going in and just completely destroying the plant. I'm talking about going in, you just had a little
right.
bit of winter
so
damage.
You're saying like cut back the dead stems and like
exactly.
on the
yes,
perennial plants
the-
and then this will allow for what? Like more air to circulate around the garden and like you said, like a haircut, it'll create like some new growth. Is that what you're saying?
Well, you know, once again, it's always best to wait until the danger of any hard frost is past. We know that.
Right.
But most of these woody perennials will let you know when it's time to prune them. They'll show signs. The opening buds on the lower stem portion, any kind of new growth of the plant, it'll show you that. So it has a way of showing you, look, I'm waking up. So you go out there and you look at it and you go, oh, you are waking up. Let me get rid of that dead spot. Let me get rid of that dead branch.
Now hold right there. You just hit a really good thing because isn't
mm-hmm.
it true that sometimes you go in the garden, if you don't know, I know I've done this, and you go, I just go do some pruning, but you're starting to cut live growth off. And I guess there's like a reason that, you know, more than anything else, why, you know, you're cutting something back. And I guess that reason, like you just said, it's dead, right?
Exactly. The idea is to go above your perennial, your woody plants, or go above to that spot where you see the first sign of life. Don't cut
like,
below that.
Like is it a color change?
It'll show you right below it. You'll see green. You'll see maybe a little sprout. You'll see sometimes
okay.
a little leaf coming out forming. It's going to show you I'm waking up. It's time to come to life. And then above it, there's usually going to be this like, well, what's happening here? Well, what's happening here is I'm no longer alive. Like inside, even with your plants, a lot of people probably know this already. If you have a beautiful plant inside and you look and you see one brown leaf, get rid of the brown leaf. Why do you do that? Because the brown leaf constricts the air to the plant. So it
oh,
causes
really?
The plant not able to grow. So when you
so it's like covering somebody's mouth in a sense.
Exactly. So the idea is to let it breathe. The idea is to let it grow. It can't grow with dead growth. It can only grow when it's able to be basically pruned at that point. Then the plant is allowed to breathe. It's allowed to grow. It's allowed to grow vital and big and flourish. And that's the whole concept of the pruning of spring. We already did some pruning in the winter. We talked about that a while back ago. But now you're getting ready for spring. You're getting the haircut plants. My mom used to say that. My mom was a beautiful gardener. And I went to my grand's one year, you know, just after my mom passed away, and I felt so, oh, man, I just felt like, gosh, I'm standing in my mom's garden. What am I going to do, you know? I saw everything she did. My mom was a hairdresser by nature, but she was also just a complete gardener. She knew how to wake up the garden. She knew how to give a good haircut to a plant. So when I stood in that garden, I knew that I needed to angle. I needed to position myself. I needed to look at the life. I need to look around me and see how much I do and how much I don't do. And that's where you become a good gardener, is because you look.
That's the key.
Yes. Yeah. You have to look. You have to feel it. You have to see it. And you have to be right there and treat them with the love and care they deserve if you want to have the kind of garden you're looking for.
Well, I mean, you just hit the nail on the head. I mean, number one, don't over prune. Just concentrate on things that are dead. Remove things that are going to block the air to the plants.
Exactly.
Everything we did when we put the garden to bed in the last couple of weeks, now we're waking up. Because I'm noticing things different, like today, compared to like even a week and a half ago, because I didn't get much done this week. But last week, mm-hmm. when it was dry, I was in there. I was really pulling stuff up, doing my thing. Now I'm thinking, like, especially around the dahlias, I looked today and I said, oh, my gosh, I'm actually seeing, this is real early for that. I've seen actually
right.
a couple of actual dahlia shoots today. So I'm saying, okay, what am I doing around there right now? Am I messing stuff up? So now this comes to a really important thing. Now, when you get to the, you know, like you said, the trimming and pruning, but we're looking at our dirt. I didn't rototill this year. I mean, what is my belief on rototilling? I mean, at the end of the winter, I mean, should I think about now that it's spring to do some rototilling? Because some people say it's, you have to do it, and other people say, I'll never do it.
You know, once again, I'm going to go with the concept. It depends on what kind of a garden you're talking about. If we're talking, we're gardening with vegetables, we're gardening with plants. I think any time you put your hands to the dirt, you put the toil to, you know, to the ground, you put the till to the dirt, you know, you always have a better chance when you're rotating that dirt back and forth, you know, for all those vitamins and nutrients and all those good things and not so good things to keep and to remove. That's why we toil the soil. You know, that's why we, you know, it's
right.
kind of like getting a shampoo and a conditioner. I know I keep going back and forth to hair, but I think it's one way to kind of describe an analogy of some sort. You're shampooing, you're conditioning, whatever it is, and the treatment so that the, you know, that the result, is, you know, is going to be good. So I would encourage anybody to till, you know, especially if they haven't for a while, you know. Depending on your garden, once again, you know, flower garden, vegetable garden. Some people like to get out there and they get a shovel going and they have some old-time, old-school tools, whatever it is, to work in the garden, you know, going back and forth with the rake, you know, going back and forth with the hoe, that kind of thing. But for your bigger places and bigger avenues, I really encourage, you know, the tilling of the soil.
Well,
you know,
here's the thing with that. I mean, it's like in the tilling, remember, like for me, I'm not going to be tilling around my dahlias because I didn't pull the bulbs up this year. I kind of lucked out and, you know, it wasn't too bad, so I left them in the ground, you know.
Exactly.
Go ahead.
Exactly. So that's where it comes in. Okay, what kind of a story we have here? What kind of a gardening thing do we have going on here? Well, obviously, you have your dahlias. What are you going to do? Well, you're going to go out there and you're going to look and see what's happening, what's waking it up here. Well, okay, obviously weeds are waking up, okay?
Right.
Weeds, oh my gosh, here comes the grass. Because we know when the sun comes out and the rain comes out, especially in Washington, anywhere, here comes the weeds, here comes the grass. So overkill. So we got to go in there, we're going to dig the ground with a shovel or a hoe, whatever, get all those weeds out. Let's put some nutrients around those beautiful dahlias that are going to be coming up here, you know, in probably the mid part of, you know, what we call spring, summer, depending on, you know, what the year brought to them, how much damage or no damage, you know. We've got the root system going on. We've got the pruning, the branches. We're going to go in there and get those little slight little haircuts we need to do, you know, on the branches, whatever. We're going to add some more topsoil. We're going to mix that together, maybe some fertilizer. We're going to put some love.
All right, we're going to get the fertilizer in a second. What I wanted to finish up before we move too much further past rototilling.
Right.
Is there's a very golden rule here, and I want to say that clearly to people. If you're now, like I said, some people, like you said, love to rototill every year. Some people don't. But if you're going to do it, you have to. There's some basic rules that I got to tell you about that. And Rhonda knows these two. Number one, never ever rototill your ground when it's wet. just do not do it, because that can totally ruin the whole integrity of the soil, and it's going to take all the air supply needed to aid in the growth. So don't wait till the soil's got to be dry, and instead, you know, rototill when it's damp enough to form a ball, but that it'll still easily fall apart. That's a really good test.
Exactly.
And I wanted to just make that point before we get into fertilizer, which is the next thing I wanted to ask Rhonda E. about. Let me let people know for a second, everybody take a deep breath, that you're listening to Tweetomania on Blog Talk Radio, and we'll be rebroadcasting this show next Friday night during the All Around the World music show on KSVR, KSVU, and KSJU, and worldwide as well, and we'll probably be you streaming it as well. So you're going to get a live version of this show as well. But what I mean by live, you'll actually be seeing a couple of shots of some of these great gardens and all that stuff. Secondly, I'll tell you how to reach Rhonda E. and myself a little bit later in the broadcast. And finally, if anybody would like to call in, we'll make the phone line, one phone line available while Rhonda and I are discussing fertilizer, or I was going to say shooting the poop, especially if it's mink poop or cow poop that we're using in our garden, so we can, Rhonda and I will shoot the poop in a second. But if you want to call, you can call in at 323-580-5779, and we might take one of your questions, and we'd love that. So call us if you want to. All right, let's go back to fertilizer. So
right.
Is when you're rototilling or by either by machine or by hand, is that the best time to add fertilizer?
Yeah, pretty much afterwards. Like you said, you make a huge point there, you know, one which I'm thinking people already know, but maybe people don't know, you know, on the toiling in the ground, you want to make sure it's the right, you know, the right consistency of, you know, going out there and doing that. You don't want to do it in mud. You see the farmers wait, they wait for a reason, you know, you wait for the soil to be right. Same thing with soil and fertilizer. You know, like I said, think before we said, you know, it's always wise to test your soil before you start adding things to it.
Right.
You know, you want to check and see how balanced things are. You know, most of the plants enjoy good feeding in the spring, so when they're having their initial growth spurt, if you have a rich, healthy soil, you know, one of the things you're just, all you're really going to need to do in that whole spring of thing is a bit of a top dressing with a compost, maybe a manure.
Right. When you say top dressing, just explain that one more time.
When I say what?
You said like top dressing, is that what you were saying?
No, when you a bit of top dressing, a topping, a dressing could be maybe a little bit of sand. It could be
I'm trying to say. So you call that extra layer of top dressing? Okay.
Exactly. With your compost, some people have their own compost pile. You know, they could be the vegetables, the branches through the year, whatever they save that they put in a little spot in their yard, whatever, to mix with the soil. Manure. You know, these things just complete a slow release of fertilizer. And this is organic. This is great. This is wonderful. You can add to it if you want to. But a lot of people are going organic.
Yeah.
If you prefer using synthetic fertilizers, you can start, you can start applying them.
Well, as soon as you do that, then you got to, you know, can the whole idea of organic. But in some cases, we're not going to tout either side. We prefer organic. But in some cases, you do have to use some other stuff. But there are lots of choices, aren't there, in getting things that aren't as bad as others?
And exactly. I don't want to take a side here. You know, I prefer, you know, more organic. But there are people that do use something, set of, you know, fertilizer. So
well, you
can start applying that, you know, once your plant shows signs of any new growth, you know, that kind of stuff.
Sure.
You know, so it just really, you know, if you don't know, you know, maybe even if you live next to a farm or somebody just asks them or whatever. But like I said, pretty common sense, you know. On
right.
your testing of your soil, what fertilizers to use.
You can buy kits to test the pH and all that.
Well, and the interesting thing, even on compost today, or you know, as far as you know, having any kind of thing that you want to raise in your garden, there are tons of ads in the paper for you know, places where they're selling topsoil or they're giving it away. You just have to come and remove it. It could be at the farms, whatever. Great way to go.
There's a lot of people giving away a lot of free poop. That's for sure.
Exactly. Great way to go. And you know, as gross as that may sound to a lot of people when we talk about it, hello, it's not for the plants. It's such a good feeding system. It's such a great way to go, especially to see healthy, vibrant plants.
Right.
You know,
well, we got a question right now via our text chat line on Blog Talk. Somebody's asking, and sounds kind of silly, and you'll probably crack up, but this person actually does not know. Can I use my dog poop for fertilizer? And
no name attached.
This could be a fake call, but you know, some people might not know. So, because I want to get into the plant, Rhonda, I want to say that I want to get, we have about 10 minutes left, and I want to spend at least 5 of that on talking about plants, but let's answer this poop question.
Okay, we're talking about dog food, right?
Dog poop, not dog food.
Oh, okay.
Somebody wants to know if they can use their dog poop as fertilizer, because I guess they're like, they don't want to pick it up. They'd rather shovel it under the dirt.
Okay, all right. Okay, well, that's a funny question. You know, I'm not going to say yes, and I'm not going to say no. I'm going to say that anything compost-wise, anything that will biodegrade itself down.
Right.
You know, most of our gardens, let's put it this way, okay? When you have a garden or a farm, you've always got poop. There's always poop.
Right.
It doesn't matter if it's cat poop. Cat poop is perfect for fertilizer. So I'm not going to say no to dog poop. I'm going to say I don't necessarily know. For me, it's kind of like dog poop in my soil. But then when I think of cow poop, what's the difference really, okay? But there could be something. I don't
about
get in
4 inches
there could
in a patty.
Be some dispute in this. Exactly.
Yeah.
But I am going to say that I do believe that anything that can compost itself down and the mixture of it, that, you know, there could be some advantage to it. But I don't know enough about
okay.
that.
Okay. All right. We'll try to find that exact answer and let people
that would be a
know.
Good. That would be a good thing to research.
I have to
but
say something.
Question.
You know, there's a big difference between, you know, cow patties and dog poop. And I'll tell you why. I know when I was first out west, and it was all so new to me being from Brooklyn, I said, oh, what's that? And someone said, oh, that's a cow patty. And I said, cow patty, well, okay, what is that? Is that a plant? Or I mean, it didn't really look like what it's supposed to be. And all of a sudden, sometimes when I went walking and I saw these little patties, I said, oh, how neat, a cow's been here, you know. You never feel that way when you go and walking in the woods and you step in some dog poop. You don't think that's magical or anything. You go,
right,
oh, gosh,
exactly.
Dog. All right. Anyway, enough of the poop talk. I wanted to say one thing because this last few minutes is going to go pretty quick. Now, it's probably the most obvious of everything, but it's my favorite part, and that's like planting. Planting a seed, planting a bulb, sprouting your own seeds. And I think the coolest thing about it, especially for kids and really involving your kids in this process, is you never know. It's always a mystery what's exactly going to come up. First of all, is it going to come up? And when it does come up, how cool is it going to be? Not to mention it's a great way to get a little daily surprise. You know, if your life is, you know, if you think about it, if you take a couple of seeds and you put them in a little starter and it's on your window, so when you wake up, you get getting ready for work and you look and you see that first little sprout, don't you get excited? I mean, I do.
Oh, it's exciting, yes.
And so basically this is something, again, that we have to decide. And at this point in time, we can do a whole nother show on just the sprouting process, but I know you, most of the time, you use your own seeds, don't you?
I use what?
Your own seeds for your plants.
Yes, I do. My own food?
Seeds.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm having trouble hearing
you're
you.
You're hungry. I know you're probably thinking of food right now, but
No, I'm having trouble. I think it's our connection. I'm sorry.
Okay, not a problem. Well, quickly, you know, picking out your plants and what you're going to grow is really a personal choice. But one of the questions we also have here is how soon before I put it in the ground should I start my seeds? In other words, if I start my seeds today, am I going to be ready in time for the season, or is it too late for this year?
We're
asking you the hard questions there.
It is a hard question. It's really kind of one of those things where it's like you just have to kind of go your own way. And what I mean by that is I would encourage most people when they start their seeds, you know, we have a lot of people using like even egg crate type of deals, you know, with their kids just to show them the growth,
sure.
You know, the seeds, whether it be, you know, from your sprouts to maybe carrots to your onions, you know, things like that or whatever. It's kind of iffy right now because we haven't had a whole lot of sunshine yet and we haven't had a lot of dry weather. We've had a lot of rain.
Right.
For me personally, on a personal level, I probably wouldn't get as gung-ho on putting seed in the ground as much as I would be on gung-ho to get seed ready in little containers.
That's what I'm saying. There's a sprouting process, but anything that you put in the ground at this point, probably this season, you're saying you want to pre-sprout. And is there going to be enough time? I guess that's my question. Because even when you sprout them, they still have to kind of be in their little containers for a month or two before you actually put them in the ground. Isn't that true?
Depending on what it is that you're seeding, yeah, some of it can be true. And it also depends on how you manage and place those in the ground. If you decide to do it on a very beautiful day where the soil, you know, the sun has been shining, it's not muddy, the soil is at a right temperature, you want to take them out. You got to handle those babies with care. The first
right.
time to sprout, maybe I'm going to say a half an inch to an inch out of there, you're ready to plant. Your
right.
responsibility is going to be, well, what do I do if a big, hard rain comes? Well, there's
That's
ways.
That's what I was
there's
saying,
ways,
yeah.
There are ways to do that. You can get a hardy tarp that the sun's
sure.
able to protrude through and come up with a system where the rain would go downward.
That's
on those
a good
rainy
idea.
Days. Maybe a little sprinkle. You know, some people have inside garden houses. Perfect,
right.
you know, and then they transplant into the bigger gardens as they grow.
Right, I've seen them use like PVC pipe and plastic and make little domes
exactly.
for the first month or so, yeah.
There are
okay.
so many ways to do that, you know, and for creativity, for those that are creative with that and are master gardeners and even those who are learning, you know.
Do you think we're going to have to do a part four of this show now? Because, I mean, there's so much more to talk about over the next couple of weeks. Why don't we do our next Foodomania show, we'll do part four to try to wrap up the things we won't get to today.
That sounds great because gardening is quite overwhelming. There's so much, you know, there's so
right.
much to think about, so much to process and so much to, you know, and so many, everybody's so different in what they plan to do as they're waking up their gardens and how that's going to
well,
work.
Exactly. And here's the deal. Foodomania, we're always dedicated to, you know, cooking all kinds of stuff. But I think what we're going to do
right.
is we're going to stay with you out there with your gardens for at least another couple of shows. And then we're going to harvest and cook everything that we're growing and come up with the greatest Foodomania shows for all that stuff. So I think that's a good idea. Ron, I want to thank you so much, for being part of these shows. And I'll look forward to next week, and we'll do part four of this because it's just such a hot topic right now. And I
oh,
love the perspective. So thank you very much for your perspective on this. It's just great.
Oh, thank you so much. And for all of you out there, don't be discouraged with the rain. You know, we've got plenty of time, you know, just, you know, enjoy the process.
Right.
Have fun with it. It's all good. It'll all come in due time.
But I'm going to also say one other thing. It's, you know, that famous saying, April showers brings the flowers. Like you said,
exactly.
Adhere to what you said. I guess don't feel so bad if you have another couple of weeks to wait, because you can always go to one of the gardening places and get some nice organic starters that will work fine. So don't stress too much about sprouting your own stuff. Mostly do what Ron said. Get out there, take a look, clean up if you haven't done it already, and just get everything ready. And look at your
exactly.
time. You know, don't overdo it. Like this year, you know, I looked at, you know, the garden that I'm doing this year, and it's quite big. The first year, I went crazy. Last year, it became Dahlia Mania. And this year, I just said, okay, two strips with just about 4 to 5 different vegetables and just let the dahlias do the thing and put my time into those. And that's my idea. So I want to tell people also, if you're looking at your garden, you don't have to go totally crazy this year. You know, if you want to take it, just cut it in half and do half of it, you know?
Exactly.
So
just get out there and love on those trees, shrubs, and evergreens, and the rest of it
right.
will come.
All right, I'm with you. I want to tell people if they want to get in touch with us, they can write us at Chef Stuarto, C-H-E-F, as in Frank, S-T-U-A-R-T-O, at hotmail.com, or also 1020radio.net, and you can write us there as well. Please go to our website. You can get that information there, and when you do that, it'll be great. You can also go to Facebook, which is Chef Stuarto's Foodomania. And all this information for Rhonda E., you'll find links to her site as well on both of these sites. And one of the greatest things about it is you can write, when you send an email, in the subject line, if you have a specific question for our Green Thumb singing gardener, that would be fantastic because I know she would love to answer it, you know. Well, thank you for listening, everybody. Tell your friends about it. We'll be back. Rhonda, thank you.
Thank you.
All right, see you next week.